Or you can scream, shout, whine, cry, sniffle, piss, moan. You can seek out a safe space. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep the company. Let's not forget the third and most likely possibility. You can go fuck yourself, because I'm right and you're wrong. How does that happen? It happens because I am the great one himself, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com, on the interwebs, on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 11 motherfucking years. Right? Always right, always been right, always going to be right. This is Stating the Obvious Podcasting. It's the weapons platform from which I launched that cruise missile of my intellect, zooms in on, and destroys the stupid motherfucking statist all around the world. And the cruise missile of my intellect, it doesn't give a fuck about your feelings. In fact, the 50 caliber machine gun will take care of your feelings. Okay? We can solve your fucking feelings. Speaking of solving things, a few episodes ago I talked about the TV miniseries I was watching, Ascension, which I'm not sure where that is. So I had the first DVD, and apparently the only DVD from Netflix, and you know, it just sort of ended, because I think the plan was they were trying to sell it to Sci-Fi Network and keep making more episodes. And I read on the interwebs, so it must be true, that Sci-Fi Network did not buy it. So now I don't know if we're ever going to finish the series. I'll never know what the fuck happened. Anyhow, I mentioned that there was, that everything was going really good until, ow, that fuck. This mug of hot tea is fucking hot. Ow. I mentioned that everything was going really well until the lesbian showed up. Well, without giving too many spoilers, I'm just going to say that if you're going to watch it, rest assured the lesbian problem is taken care of. Oh, God, I am so homophobic. It's obvious. But, you know, I just wonder, like, so... And, you know, this is interesting, too. It's like, was she a bad guy or was she a good guy? I'll say this for Ascension. Because in a lot of TV shows, and there's necessities behind this. I mean, it's drama. It's fiction. You also have a limited amount of time to create characters and draw the audience in, all this other sort of stuff. By the way, I am the great one himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society. In the control room over there is the lovely and adorable Randy. Today is the 28th of November. We're still recording. Still recording in the sense that we already did one podcast episode today. And I'm spilling hot tea all over myself. Theme song for Stating the Obvious Podcast is You Know I'm Right by David Gilmour off his 1984 album About Face, and you can send us email at God, that's dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. I'm still a little stuffed up from being sick and everything. I do have my voice back, thank God. Otherwise, well, I mean, boy, I tell you, I sure missed hearing the sound of my own voice, because is the most glorious sound in the universe, the sound of my voice. Anyway, people are like, how dare you? Oh, God, what's it, for those of you who actually got offended by that, what's it like to be that much of a fucking loser that you can't tell when people are being funny? I mean, what's it like to be that much of a fucking loser? And more importantly, why don't you go kill yourself? Make the world a better place. Anyway, back to Ascension. The lesbian character, who we didn't really need to... Again, first of all, why did we need to know that she was a lesbian? I mean, these are... It really had nothing to do with anything other than just needing to be thrown in our faces, which is why I'm referring to her as the lesbian problem. Had the character been exactly as the character was without having to take the lesbian part and shove it in my face, I still would have hated her because, well, let me get around to this. So then going there, now after mentioning that they had to shove lesbian in our face, the next thing is, though, I was going to say she's a bad guy, but not necessarily, depending on your perspective. I interpreted her as a bad person. I'm not going to go to all the reasons because I don't want to be spoilers. I put her in the antagonist category instead of the protagonist category. And this is an ensemble piece, so there are multiple antagonists and multiple protagonists. And as things happen, you know, my interpretations of who is antagonist and who is protagonist change as you find out more about the characters, which I think is a sign of a good drama. She was firmly, hang on, I gotta pick this up. What? No, I was not picking my nose, picking that up. It fell down. The fuck was, oh. Sign of a good drama is when people, you as the viewer, your interpretation of is this character antagonist or protagonist changes. That's a good thing. She was a protagonist, in my opinion, from the beginning. Other people, I'm sure, are going to watch this and view her, I mean, an antagonist, in my opinion, from the beginning. Other people, I think, would view this and view her character as being a protagonist. So anyhow, the point is, I'm sort of rambling now, talking about movies and character development and shit. But the point is, the problem gets taken care of. And again, now that I've made it through the first and only disc of Ascension, I liked it. I mean, again, it has obvious flaws that any fucking TV show has. There's some plot holes. There's some shit. Like, still, it's like, dude, you're on this spaceship. Where's the fucking gravity coming from, guys? Come on, seriously. Gravity? Hello, you're in space. Gravity? But anyway, it is what it is. All right, let's get back to making fun of college students. So we're back to reading from the CSU Collegian, that's Colorado State University. Now, if you did not listen to the previous edition of Stating the Obvious, number 270. By the way, episode number 269 went by and I didn't make any jokes about episode number 269. 269? Slap your knee, kiddies. That's a 69 joke. Oh, so funny. Oh, whoo. Whew. Yeah. Didn't make any jokes about episode 269. In episode 270, I ripped majorly on college students for their need for safe spaces and diversity and how everything antagonizes them and all of this other shit. And so now, let us come to this article. Over half of CSU students report feeling lonely. Brace yourselves. Loneliness describes the feeling of being without friends or company. Yet in a community of thousands of people, more than half identify with that feeling. Because you see, when you're in the medicated generation, you need to have loneliness defined for you. One of these days when I get to it, I've got the sound bites and everything, I'm going to do a podcast about the episode of the Cato podcast where they talk to some chick where she's saying that millennials have a favorable opinion of socialism, but they don't know what socialism is. And here we're writing for millennials. These are millennials writing for millennials. Loneliness describes the feeling of being without friends or company. Yeah, because millennials don't know the fucking definitions. We support socialism. We don't know what it means. Loneliness. What is loneliness? I can't figure out what loneliness is. Can you define that for me? Now, of course, I'm a really big fan of defining your terms. But when you have to define shit like loneliness, or when millennials say we support socialism, but then you ask them what socialism is and they don't know. I mean, don't you have a fucking cell phone? Don't you have fucking Google voice search? Anyway. But anyways, in fall 2013, 60% of Colorado State University students reported feeling alone. in a study by the National College Health Assessment, said Janelle Patrias, whoever, who gives a fuck, CSU's Manager of Mental Health Initiatives. Okay, again, the fact that a manager of mental health initiatives, the fact that this position exists in the first place, this is a bullshit job created for a woman who has a bullshit degree, who has no fucking value to society, and so this is what she does. She's the manager of mental health initiatives. Jesus Christ on a stick. On the CSU campus, as well as on campuses around the nation, students struggle with loneliness. It may seem that this abstract feeling is an inevitable aspect of the college experience. Quote, "You're more mentally and emotionally alone than you are physically. I think that's what loneliness is," says freshman psychology major Alyssa Cassius. Yes, she's a freshman psychology major, so let's go to her for an expert opinion on loneliness, because she has 18 years of life experience. She's got a lot of wisdom to contribute to this. Like many other college freshmen, Cassius finds herself struggling with feeling alone in a crowd. Now let's stop for a second and think about something. All these little millennial pieces of shit, 60% of them are experiencing loneliness. Well, now, why are people lonely? Because they don't have any friends, because they don't do things with other people, they don't interact with other humans. Now, what is it that exists on college campuses and that is embraced by a large number of millennials that might interfere with their ability to interact on a meaningful level with other people? What could that be? Oh, what could that be? I'm racking my brain. My brain is being racked. Yeah, there's the rack. Yep, I got a rack. My brain is in the rack. Brain, it's racking. Oh, could it be tolerance, diversity, multiculturalism, political correctness, safe spaces? Could it be the fact that they go through their entire fucking life looking for the opportunity to be victims? Could it be that anyone who has an opinion different from them, they automatically alienate and shun this person and run away? Do you think any of those things could contribute to the fact that these stupid little fucking sissified, pussified, overly sensitive, whiny, snivelly, ignorant, stupid, lazy, fucking safe space seeking millennial pieces of shit don't have any friends? Do you think that might be part of it? Because part of having friends is learning how to deal with the fact that your friends don't fucking agree with you about everything. When you're going through life, only interact, and then of course we've got, well, all the little subcultures, right? You got the GLBTKKK, and you got the Native American group, right? I read this article a while back about the American Indian guy. He came to CSU, and oh, he just couldn't figure out how to do math. And then he finally went to the fucking Native American Awareness Center, or whatever it was, and they got somebody who is also a Native American to teach him math, and now he understands, because he couldn't learn math from white people, right? So when you're fucking trying to put yourself in all these little fucking victim groups, and you go hang out at the advocacy center for your particular victim group, where you're fucking terrified of anyone who doesn't have the same skin color as you, isn't the same gender as you, doesn't fucking sexually identify the same way you do, when you're constantly looking at every fucking person around you as a potential victimizer, right? When you're a woman and you're told that every man is going to rape you because every man on the planet wants to have sex with you, and when you're fucking a GLBTKKKer and you're told that all the heterosexuals want to kill you, and when you're a black person and you're told that all white people are racist and you're a victim, gee, I wonder why you don't have any fucking friends. I can't fucking figure it out. And this is statism. Statism wants people to be victims. That's why all these advocacy fucking organization departments, whatever the fuck they are, exist across college campuses. All of this is moving towards the purpose of taking all these young people and fucking destroying their psyches, making them fear other people, making them feel like victims so that they will become more and more reliant upon the state. Currently, there are about 32,000 CSU students enrolled. College may sound like an unlikely place to feel alone, and this may play a role in why students do feel alone. They expect to feel connected. Quote, what perpetuates that myth is that people have this sense that college is supposed to be the best time of their life. Unquote, Pateras said. For Pateras, measuring a sense of belonging plays a big role in assessing mental health. Well, if college is the best time of your life is pretty fucking boring and empty. Just gonna throw that out. Blah, 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 blah. I'm skipping some stuff here. Once the school year is in full swing, or when loneliness hits past freshman year, other programs and organizations are in place to help CSU students establish connections and a community. Because you see, millennials cannot establish a connection with other person, with other people, if I can fucking talk, unless there are programs and organizations in place to help them do that. Again, because they have no fucking social skills. They have no clue how to interact with other humans. They're just fucking lost because they're so traumatized by life. They're so victimized by existence. They're so busy looking for reasons to be offended. They're so fucking enamored with their need for a safe space. They can't fucking interact with another human being unless there's a program or an organization to help them do it. And yet, they're alone. We can't figure out why. The Student Diversity Programs and Services. God damn it! The fact this shit exists. This is a fucking department. The Student Diversity Programs and Services exist to help students find a place. Because they can't find a place on their own. Smartest generation ever. They're going to change the world, but they can't fucking find friends without help from the fucking state. These programs include, oh my God, just brace yourselves for this list. These programs include El Centro, Asian Pacific American Cultural Center, Black/African American Cultural Center, GLBTKKK Resource Center, Women and Gender Advocacy Center, Resources for Disabled Students, Native American Cultural Center, the Adult Learner and Veteran Services, SLICE, the Office of Student Leadership Involvement and Community Engagement works to connect students to their surrounding communities. They all put student organizations, student leaders, and student volunteers under one umbrella, streamlining the process of getting involved. These are all a bunch of organizations that help people become victims. Asian Pacific American Cultural Center. Well, you're a victim because you're an Asian Pacificer. Black African American Cultural, you're a victim because you're black. GLBT KKK Resource Center. Need I say more? Women and Gender Advocacy Center. Victimhood Creation. Resources for Disabled Students. Victimhood Creation. Native American Cultural Center. Victimhood Status. Victimhood Creators. Adult Learner and Veteran Services, because, you know, like, man, if you're an adult and you need help learning, you're not really much of a fucking adult. Victim Creation. I can't figure out why they're alone. All right. Locals addressed Locals address hunger on college campus. Oh my God. All right, let's find some more victim status. William Radmacher is a full-time student at Front Range Community College, president of the Sustainability Club and an active member of the Community Garden. To the world, Radmacher is just another college student. But what cannot be seen is what Radmacher has lived with since he can remember. Hunger. Because you see, nobody else in the history of the human species has ever experienced hunger. I personally, I've never been hungry in my life. Never have experienced hunger. Because, of course, I'm a heterosexual white man who works for a living, and we know that William Radmacher is, of course, a victim. He's oppressed, and the patriarchy is holding him down and preventing him from eating food. Quote, "There have been many times this year where I haven't had any money and have lived off just white rice. You either starve or you actually accept the fact that you need help," unquote, Radmacher said. Okay, first of all, I'm pretty sure that Obama is the president of the United States. So I'm a little unclear on why people don't have food, because he's the Messiah. There are food stamps, welfare. All this shit exists. There's a food bank here in Fort Collins. I know. I've used it when I was unemployed. I went to the food bank. Yeah, it was absolute shit. I've ranted about the food bank in the past. It just cracks me up. The food bank here in Fort Collins, it's actually, I think it's the Laramie County Food Bank. But they put out this propaganda. Like, they're, oh wait, actually, I think it's in, oh, it is in here. All right, I'm going to save it. Let me save it, because it's coming. I'm getting ahead of myself. It's like sex. I'm getting ahead of myself. Yes. Oh, what? Wait. Oh, I was supposed to wait for the girl to get here before I had sex? Ah, shit. I got ahead of myself again. Episode 269. Woo! All right. I say, Terrence. I'm at a 69 for you. What's that, Philip? It's right here. All right. Oh, that was a bad fart. All right. Anyway, never mind. Focus. Focus. Sorry, this is not me making fun of college students. This is me having a good time. I'll try to focus. Whew. Hunger on college campuses is one issue that, for the majority of the country, may remain in the dark nationally and locally. One out of every 10 CSU students, faculty, and staff live with food insecurities, said Lauren Mingus, communications manager for the Food Bank for Larimer County. Radmacher struggles with this issue that many CSU students also face. Now hold it. The students I can kind of understand. Food insecurity. I love these terms. It's food insecurity. Here's a question. If one out of 10 students, faculty, and staff live with food insecurities. Now, if the faculty and staff are being paid so little money by the college, that they can't afford to buy food, remember, these people all have college educations. That's why they work at a college. That's why they're faculty at a college. They have a college education. They're teaching college. They probably have liberal arts degrees. Yet they make so little money, they can't buy food. And yet the college is filled with little students getting liberal arts degrees. And if you talk to a bunch of them, they say, I want to teach college. Okay, so you're going into debt to get a job where you're going to get paid so little money that you're not going to be able to afford to buy food. How fucking stupid are you people? Where is all the money that CSU gets? And CSU has lots of money. For those of you new to the podcast, I worked at Colorado State University for 8 years. If you go back in the podcast, you can hear endless stories of the corruption, the theft, the waste of money, the bullshit, the people who work there threatening to come to the Christmas party and kill everyone. But of course, you can't fire them because they have freedom of speech. That's freedom of speech at CSU. If you say, I'm going to come to the Christmas party with my gun and shoot everybody, can't be fired. That's freedom of speech. That's the state. That's the government. That's higher education. Why isn't the university paying its employees enough money that they can buy food? Quote, hunger is a sign of much larger societal issues. Of course it is. We all know it's a sign of the patriarchy. Hunger is a sign of much larger societal issues. Our society has a real issue addressing people needing help. People are not proud of it, and those being affected are kind of silent about it themselves, unquote, Mingus said. Many people assume that if students can afford to be in college, they can afford to feed themselves. I don't know if I'd go that far, but I would assume that when I see college students with automobiles, beer, stuff like that, yeah, you should be able to feed yourself. This has led to a misunderstanding of what being food insecure means. Oh, all right, at least we're going to define. Now, this is a point. This is, in the previous episode, I made fun of the collegian for defining what the word loneliness means. Now, at least we're using a bullshit term like food insecure. At least we're going to define it. See, this is when you need to define your terms. Defined as a lack of nutritional food. Hunger does not always mean food scarcity, but it does mean the lack of nutrient-rich food the body needs to sustain itself. Oh, wait a minute. You're saying people should eat healthy food instead of shit? Oh, wait, hold it. Who's been saying that for years? I bet there's some fucking asshole with the podcast who for years has been saying that if you stop eating shitty food and eat some fucking meats and some vegetables and some fruits and some nuts and you cut down on all the fucking potato chips and the carbonated sugar water and the junk food, well, and of course you should always eat lots of cheesecake also, because cheesecake is a major source of nutrition. Eat nutritious foods instead of junk. Wow, I wonder. Wow, I don't think anyone's ever thought of this before. Quote, there is definitely a need for food security on campus, said Jen Riskenkamp, Programs Director for CSU's SLICE program. With the way the food system is set up, you get the most calories out of the food that is the worst for you. Well, yes. So maybe you should stop eating the shitty food. I know it's hard. I know those ramen noodles are really fucking tempting, but maybe you should buy some real fucking food.
Well, but I don't have, I can't afford it.
Well, I don't know. Why don't you get a job? Just get a fucking part-time job. I mean, there's plenty of jobs out there. Obama is the president. The economy has recovered. Unemployment doesn't exist anymore. There are plenty of... Obama has created jobs. If you're telling me you can't get a part-time job to buy yourself some food, you obviously hate black people, because Obama has created jobs and fixed the economy. And of course, ultimately, what all this is pointing to is more government control of the food system, more welfare, or should I say, more food stamp benefits. The Food Bank for Larimer County is another food community resource. Quote, "We welcome students to come use the food bank," Mingus said, after recalling the gratitude students have expressed for the abundance of food provided at the food bank. "Fresh food is top priority for the food bank, which ensures access to fresh produce, bread, eggs, and dairy products for their clients." Okay, this is called a lie. This is called not true. When I was unemployed, thanks to getting laid off from Colorado State University, thank you all to all the gods and goddesses that do and don't exist. Oh, thank you for that. Thank you for getting me out of there without me having to quit or get fired and get unemployment. And yes! So, when I was unemployed after being laid off from Colorado State University, it took me writing a 10-page letter to the president of Colorado State University telling him he's a fucking moron in order to make sure that happened. But then again, I'm good at what I do. I have used the food bank. This is personal experience talking to you. Okay, number one, fresh produce. Occasionally, but not very often. Bread, yes, all of the bread at the food bank is the bread that has hit the expiration date, and that's why it goes to the food bank, so it's all stale. Eggs. I never saw a fucking egg. There was not a single fucking egg. I used the food bank for probably off and on for about a 2-year span. I never saw a fucking egg. That is a lie. And dairy products. I don't know what they're called. Again, if you're calling yogurt that's gone past the expiration date on the package, if you're calling that a dairy product, okay, fine. That is the only dairy product that ever existed at that fucking place. All right, so the students are lonely and they're starving to death. And yet they still have time to stand out on the fucking Laurie Student Center and protest. All right. Speaking of things college students have time to do. Randy, how are we on time? Beauty. Oh my God, I'm doing good. This is unreal. I'm almost focusing. More than a quarter of college women reported sexual assault. Of course they did. All right. The Collegian would like to inform its readers that the content in this article may trigger those affected by sexual assault. Oh yes, we have a trigger warning on this one. Trigger warning! Wait, I need to go to my safe space. About 20%, then, fuck, about, oh, if I could fucking read. Where's my tea? Not my pee, my tea. I say, Terrence, I've got some tea for you right here. What? What's that, Philip? Some tea right here. No, all right, never mind. That's me. That's me having fun again, not making fun of college students. Sorry, focus. Deep breath. Okay. About 26% of college women reported experiencing sexual assault or misconduct as a result of physical force or incapacitation, according to a campus climate survey on sexual assault and sexual misconduct released Monday by the Association of American Universities. Excuse the fuck out of me. All right, so, right, it used to be 1 in 5 women got raped on college campuses. Now, of course, we're getting it up to 1 in 4. I predicted this would happen. It's going to go up to 1 in 3. It's going to go up to 1 in 2. Okay, these are just facts. it's going to keep going up because everything is rape and all the other reasons I've talked about. Let me just repeat this. I've said this before. Not the first person to point this out. This is obvious to anybody with brain cells. And this illustrates why, and there's no other way to say it, it illustrates why women aren't very smart. It also illustrates that this isn't true. It illustrates both of those, I think. If you went to women and you said, hey, there's this place, and if you go there, you stand a 1 in 4 chance of being raped. Not only if you go there do you have a 25% chance of being raped, but you're going to have to pay us a bunch of money to go there. Any woman who would say yes to that is a fucking idiot. Now, of course, women still go to college, and in truth, it's not because they're idiots. It's because I think most of them recognize that this is bullshit. Because as I've said before, my personal experience in talking to girls, including college girls, is that most of them, most of the ones I've interacted with, are not feminist. They don't believe all this rape culture shit. They're not into this, right? This, again, the reason why the femistatist version of rape culture is at the forefront of conversation, why you see it, why you read about it, why it's in this newspaper right now, why I'm reading this to you, is because the very small number of women who are these hardcore femistatist, rape culture, everything is rape, a man looked at me, I'm being oppressed, patriarchy, these women are really fucking loud. And they constantly need attention, and they constantly need validation, and thus they take their femistatism, their rape culture, their patriarchy, and they shove it in the face of anybody they can get close to. While, of course, normal women who just aren't fucking stupid cunts, they're just going about living their life. They're doing the things they do. They go to school, they go to work, they hang out with their friends because, you know, they have friends because they're not fucking constantly screaming about rape culture, and so other people will be friends with them, and therefore they're not in that group that's all, I'm lonely, and right. So normal women, I do believe at this time, still comprise the majority of women, even among the fucking millennials. There's more femistatist, rape culture, patriarchy, stupid fucking cunt whores among the millennials than any other generation. But even among the millennials, I think that the normal women are still over 50%. That's just my, I have no data to back that up. It's my personal experience only. Additionally, the survey found that non-consensual sexual contact. Can you have, okay, all right, I'll buy that. Non-consensual sexual contact involving drugs and alcohol constitute a large percentage of these incidents. Oh, so in other words, women who got raped actually got drunk, had sex, and then of course the day after decided, oh, I was drunk, I didn't want to do that. And again, well, she was drunk. Well, she wasn't drunk when she started drinking. Around 150,000 of the 780,000 students originally contacted responded to the survey. Student responses were surveyed across 27 American universities. Now again, as I always say to you, when you hear about any kind of study, you should always find out the methodology. At least here, we're getting some of the methodology. So they sent this out to 780,000 students. Only 150,000 of those responded, and these were only at 27 universities. So, and that does not entirely invalidate things, but it does allow us to make some points. So you get this survey that says, have you been raped? Yes or no? Well, again, normal women, women who have friends, jobs, are going to school, majoring in STEM, have a boyfriend, have hobbies. These women are going to look, these women are going to look at this survey and say, well, do I spend 20 minutes of my life filling out this survey that wants to know if I've been raped, or do I throw it in the trash can? A large number of normal women are going to throw this in the fucking trash can because they have a life. Okay, the women most likely to respond to a survey about have you been raped are femistatist. And they have an incentive, of course, to lie about being raped because they want to inflate the statistics. This is why I regard this fucking number as complete bullshit. The survey aims to provide institutions of higher education with information to prevent and respond to sexual assault and misconduct. Quote, this survey was designed to assess the incident, prevalence, and characteristics of incidents of sexual assault and misconduct. It also assesses the overall climate of the campus with respect to perceptions of risk, knowledge of resources available to victims, and perceived reactions to an incident of sexual assault or misconduct, unquote, states the AAU website. Slightly more than 23% of female undergraduate student response. Slightly more than 23% of female undergraduate student respondents reported experiencing incidents of sexual assault and sexual misconduct through incapacitation, physical force, and threats of physical force since they enrolled in the university. So they're claiming that in all of these circumstances, they were incapacitated or there were threats of physical force. Right, of course. The survey found that overall rates of reporting to campus or law enforcement officials ranged from 5% to 28%, depending on the type of behavior. According to the survey, the most common reason for not reporting the sexual assault and misconduct incidents... Remember, see, it's not just assault, now it's misconduct. What the fuck is sexual misconduct? If you have sex with somebody against their will, that's rape. If you didn't have sex with them, then it wasn't rape. If they wanted to have sex, it wasn't rape. So you have rape, you have non-rape. What exactly is sexual misconduct? Again, we're creating, hear how these phrases that don't mean anything are being created in order to create more victims. Because if you say to women, well, have you been raped? Again, most women are like, well, no, I've never been raped. But now, have you ever had an evil patriarchal white man who is heterosexual and have a job? Has he ever initiated sexual misconduct against you? Well, since nobody knows what the fuck sexual misconduct is, you could think about it and say, well, yeah, I guess, sure, whatever. Or if you're a femistatist and you don't want to say you've been raped, but then you, well, what about sexual misconduct? Oh, yeah, I've had lots of sexual misconduct. I would also, again, I'd love to see, this will never happen, it's my fantasy. All these women who claim they've been raped or that they've been sexually misconducted, I'd love to see their photograph. I'd love to see pictures of them, full body shots. I promise you, most of them are these ugly fat women with facial hair that no man would have sex with by choice. I promise you. I promise you this is true. You can fucking hate me. You can call me patriarchal. You can fucking racist, sexist, homophobic me all day long. It doesn't fucking matter. I'm telling you, if we could see this 23% of women who claim that they've been sexually misconducted, I promise you 70% of them at least are women who are so fucking ugly that no man would go near them. I promise you this is true. I have no data to back this up. I still promise you it's true. This is why whenever a really good-looking woman does get raped, this is why it's all over the news. According to the survey, where am I? Survey found overall rates of reporting to campus or law enforcement officials range from 5% to 28%, depending on the type of behavior. Again, there's behavior. It's either rape or it wasn't. There's not a lot of options. According to the survey, the most common reason for not reporting sexual assault and misconduct incidences was that it was not considered serious enough. Right, because it wasn't rape. The survey states that more than 60% of respondents believe that a report of sexual assault or misconduct, which we still don't know what that is, would be taken seriously by officials. No, because you lie about being raped. Nobody takes you seriously anymore. We've all heard the story, the boy who cries wolf, yada yada, right? When everything is rape, anytime I hear a woman start talking about how she got raped, the first thing I do is tune her out and assume that she's lying. Because nowadays, if you fucking look at a woman, that's considered rape. I know you think I'm making that up. It's in the pile. It's in that pile right there. Is the fucking college student written op-ed column in which she states that looking at women is rape. When I get to that pile, and it's gonna happen, sometime, you know, in the next 20 fucking years, when I get to it, I'm gonna read it, you're gonna hear it, you're gonna have to stop fucking arguing me when I say that fucking millennial fucking femistatist cunt whores believe that looking at women is rape. This is what they actually think. All right, resources for victims of sexual assault on the Colorado State University campus include, there's so many resources for victims. Remember when resources for victims were called your family? Oh, but that's right. We've destroyed the family. We don't want people to associate with their families. Remember when resources for victims were called their friends? Oh, but that's right. 60% of college students at CSU are lonely because they don't have any friends. Because you can't make friends with people when you're offended by every fucking thing that happens in the world around you and you're constantly seeking a safe space. So they don't have any. But don't worry. The college will create some resources for you because you don't have any friends and family because you have no fucking social skills because you're a goddamn loser. Resources for victims of sexual assault on the Colorado State University campus include the Women and Gender Advocacy Center, the 24-hour Victim Assistance Team, which is available to assist victims of sexual assault and interpersonal violence, the 24-hour Sexual Assault Hotline, the number is 970-472-4200 if you need to call and get sexually assaulted. 24 hours a day you can call and be sexually assaulted. And then of course there is the sexual assault, The Sexual Assault Victim Advocacy Center provides resources to victims affected by sexual violence. Hold it. We have to explain this for the millennials. The Sexual Assault Victim Advocate Center provides resources to victims affected by sexual violence. Right there in the title, it says sexual assault and victim. But because they're millennials and they're so fucking stupid, you have to explain to them that the Sexual Assault Victim Advocate Center provides advocacy for victims of sexual assault. Because if you're a millennial, you can't figure that out. You know what I can't figure out? Why I think millennials are so fucking stupid. Obviously, it must be me. It must be because of the patriarchy. Because the fact that these little shits have to go through their lives constantly surrounded by safe spaces, being constantly offended by everything that happens, being unable to cope with people who have opinions different than their opinions. None of this could possibly explain why their lives are so fucking worthless and fucked up, and why their brains are damaged. Now, of course, as always, let us, in intellectual honesty, let's not assign all of the blame to the millennials. Remember, the millennials had these things, sort of, kind of, called parents. They didn't do a very good job parenting, right? They ignored their kids. They put their kids in daycare. If their kids showed any kind of personality, they put their kids on medication to fucking destroy their personalities so they'll just sit there like a zombie drooling on themselves. You know, the millennials did not become the stupidest, most brain-damaged, most overly sensitive, most pussified, feminized, sissified generation in history all by themselves. Okay, they didn't just do this by themselves. They had help. They had help from their shitty parents. And of course, they've had help from the state. Again, the state, the government wants them to be victims because victims need welfare. The mental health industrial complex wants them to be mentally broken so that they need therapy, because that's how therapists make money, is by providing therapy. The corporations, of course, want them to be mentally broken and want them to be lonely, want them to be isolated. I've talked about all this before. When you have people that don't have friends, when you don't have contact with other human beings, which we all need and crave, human beings are social animals. We want to be with other people. So when you break people to the extent that they can't form close connections with other humans, they still need to fill that need with something. And that's where you get the people who sit around watching porn all day. That's where you get these people who spend their entire fucking day playing computer games, right? And all of this shit generates it. This is why you get women who go shopping, and sometimes men too, right? You go shopping as therapy. You play computer games as that's therapy. And all of this is money going to the corporations. You buy the new iPhone for therapy. I don't have any friends, but I have a new iPhone. Look how cool I am. The millennials are fucking broken. Say thank you to their shitty fucking parents.